a worse geographic fragmentation, a smothered and heavily aid-dependent economy, separate networks of roads and utilities, impoverished and fenced in ghettos unique in the modern world, a coercive environment, the growing amount of violence required to maintain the occupation, the denial of self-determination, the deeply lopsided access to property and to social, health, and employment rights, unquote. That's why Palestinian voices are protesting, manifesting a righteous spirit that is intolerant of injustice. Those who push back against this must be met with suspicion, especially when they do so baselessly imply that the same spirit is hateful of Jewish people. This only detracts from the atrocities of the Zionist regime. Who does such dishonesty morally and politically benefit? Students should not feel intimidated or discouraged from talking about the illegal occupation of Palestine. It represents both egregious human rights violations perpetrated by the Zionist regime, as well as a continued failure on the part of the international community, including the Canadian federal government, to adequately pressure the regime to end the occupation. A good education involves learning about the world in its totality. By the same token, it does not shy from talking about the occupation. Instead, it may very well involve students as global citizens discussing why the occupation is happening and what, through peace and cooperation, needs to be done for it to finally disappear. It incites animosity against defenders of Palestine, further compounding the oppression of those among them who are directly experiencing the occupation, while deflecting necessary attention away from the criminality of the fake regime of Israel. Indeed, we should not be silent where we recognize the subjugation of an entire people. Those who affect or endorse such silence ought to be held to task, questioned about what values they would like the rest of the humanity to accept. No person of conscience should be bothered by the idea of dismantling of occupation and acting to bring this about, such as the Palestinians can actually live in harmony. The advocacy groups fail to appreciate that the struggle for Palestinian justice inspired by love is one against hatred, in keeping with the anti-racism mandate of the Ontario government. Against the same, this should be part of classroom discussion. Students thereby have the important opportunity to analyze and grasp the insidious nature of hatred keeping the occupation alive. This empowers them to undertake constructive efforts aimed at destroying it. The government should distance itself from any organizations that support the occupation. To do so is to endorse hatred. The partnership risks creating a climate where students can, without fear, discuss the occupation. The advocacy groups have routinely attacked those such as Ontario District School Board, Equity worker Javier Davila, and Toronto-based activist Desmond Cole, who have so much as drawn attention to the brutality of the occupation. What will happen if students during the delivery of the partnership's curriculum ask questions about it, seek clarification as to why it is happening? What explanation will be offered, and are Palestinians, as happens in much of the mainstream, going to be wrongfully blamed? Anti-Semitism is a major human rights issue which the advocacy groups appear to appreciate. There is certainly much they have done publicly to raise awareness about and condemn it. However, the sincerity of that is immediately brought into question when they attack those who, through academic and creative work, protest, demonstration, etc., criticize the Zionist regime for its thoroughly documented crimes against humanity. A person person who genuinely cares for human rights, including, of course, against anti-Semitism, wants those rights to be enjoyed universally. One cannot be against anti-Semitism and those who speak out against the occupation at the same time. To be against anti-Semitism is to be against hatred at the root of the occupation itself. And dissolving that hatred involves lifting the voices of those who speak against it. Silencing those voices only perpetuates hatred. The Unitary government ought to revisit its decision to form the partnership. There are many other progressive Jewish organizations in Canada, notably Independent Jewish Voices Canada, that would be better suited to partner with the government to deliver a curriculum on anti-Semitism. It's not simply because such organizations are comprised of those knowledgeable about and committed to ending anti-Semitism, but true to any legitimate human rights organization against all forms of hate. This has been demonstrated, among other things, by their unwavering solidarity with the Palestinian people. That kind of solidarity and teaching about the harm of anti-Semitism is what belongs in a classroom. The government should also hold well-advertised and open public consultations. Not only is this democratic, but it ensures the diversity of Jewish voices throughout the province are heard. Not all such voices endorse the Zionist regime, be it as a colonial power or terroristic entity claiming the lives of innocent Palestinians. Instead, they, while risking unfairly being called anti-Semitic themselves, condemn it. That condemnation needs to be taken seriously by the Ontario government. It is more than outrage. It points to sanctioned evil that has no place on this planet, let alone the classroom. Young people have the absolute right to learn that whether the culprit is Israeli or other people, those who seek to deny them that right have no legitimate place in schools. Education illuminates where evil exists and ultimately how it can be overcome.
The very first revolution that started with the people, continued with the people, did not change its word, did not change its way, did not decrease or increase its goals, is the Islamic Revolution of Iran. Ayatollah Khamenei.
جانم تپشم سخنم باشد وطنم وطنم ای خان که گوهر خیز بحر وطنم قدمم عشقم سخنم قسمم از عاشقی لبریز.
Congratulations on the victory anniversary of the Islamic Revolution.
Seventh Imam, Imam Musa al-Kazim alayhi salatu wa salam, is actually known as Bab al-Hawaij.
قال الإمام الكاظم عليه السلام خير الأمور أوسطها.
زيارة of Imam Musa ibn Jafar al-Kazim alayhi salam.
السلام عليك يا مولاي موسى ابن جعفر ورحمة الله.
This is Dialogue, a program on the famous conversations of Imam Musa al-Kazim alayhi salam.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome, dear listeners. I'm your host, Mahdi, and we're talking about the dialogues of Imam al-Kazim alayhi salam. Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salam was the direct descendant of the Holy Prophet Muhammad. And so it can be said that the blood running in the veins of Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salam was the same blood as that of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him and his holy household. Furthermore, Imam Musa Al-Kadhim alayhi salam was the seventh divinely appointed Imam from among the household of the Holy Prophet Muhammad. From among the various beautiful qualities and characteristics of Imam Musa Al-Kadhim alayhi salam, we find that a few stand out. One of the qualities and characteristics of the persona of Imam Musa Al-Kadhim alayhi salam, which really stands out, is his clemency and his restraint of anger. Kadhim, of course, which is the title given to Imam Musa ibn Ja'far, Kadhim means one who restrains their anger. And so we find that the biographers and the historians clearly have written and announced and proclaimed that clemency was among the great qualities and unique characteristics of Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salam. Historians have also unanimously agreed that Imam Al-Kadhim repelled the greatest of offenses with kindness, and that he repelled the greatest of guilts from the people with pardon, just as his holy grandfather, the great Prophet Muhammad, may Allah bless him and his household, had done as well. And so, not only is the blood that runs in the veins of Imam Musa Al-Kadhim alayhi salam the same as the blood that was in the veins of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, but the manners, the behaviors, the sunnah, the personality of Imam Musa Al-Kadhim was just like the personality of the Holy Prophet Muhammad. These, dear friends, are the dialogues of Imam Musa Al-Kadhim alayhi salam.
قال الإمام الكاظم عليه السلام: كان الله حيا بلا حياة حادثة، بل حي لنفسه.
Imam Al-Kazim alayhi salam stated, Allah is omnipresent without any external source of life. Rather, He lives through Himself.
Welcome back, dear listeners. It's an honor and a blessing to have you with us on the program. You're listening to Dialogue on IRIB English Radio. Dear friends, when we talk about the beautiful conversations and the dialogues of Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salam, one of the things that is noteworthy is the fact that Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salam, he really urged the people to perform good deeds. And he guided the people towards righteous actions. Now, of course, this guidance of the people towards righteous actions is always conducted in a dialogue form. For example, even if the imams are speaking about traditions, it's not a monologue. There are people in front of them, there are questions being answered, there are things being exchanged, and it is in these very conversations and these dialogues that the divinely appointed imams gave their knowledge to the people. And so Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salam, again via these dialogues, he urged the people again to perform good deeds. He guided the people towards righteousness and towards righteous acts, and of course he warned the people against this meeting which will occur with Allah the Mighty, the Exalted on the day of Qiyamah, the day of judgment. And so one time, Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salam, he heard a man wishing for death. He was saying, "I wish I were dead. Why am I alive? There is no point in being alive. It is better if I were dead." And so upon hearing the man saying this, Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salam asked him, "Is there any relationship between you and Allah that Allah may side with you?" The man replied, "No." Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salam, he then said, "Therefore, you are invoking, you are calling for the everlasting destruction." And so in this manner, Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salam took care of guiding the Muslims towards doing good deeds and towards the reverential fear of Allah. So dear friends, there are times in our lives where we feel like, or we think, or we say out of emotion and passion, "I wish I was dead. I wish I didn't live anymore. What is the point of living? It is better off if I had been dead. What is the point of life?" Of course, in its own place, these are all statements which show despair, a lack of hope in Allah, and these in itself are sins, because there is so much to live for, and it is Allah who gives us life, and it is Allah who gives us death. We do not have the right to neither give ourselves life, which we can't, but we also do not have the right to give ourselves death. For the one, Allah, who has the right to give us death is the one who has given us life. But on another note, we are so eager to die. And what is death? Death is the meeting with our Creator. Death is the meeting with our nourishing Lord. Death is the meeting with Allah. And are we in such a rush to meet Allah, to face Him on the Day of Judgment? When, as Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salam says, "Is there any relationship between you and Allah? Have you done anything which will make Allah side with you?" Allahu Akbar. Even if we foolishly believe we have done so much that we are the best creations of Allah, far from it. For what Allah deserves is unimaginably infinite as compared to what we do. So if we are invoking death, we are in reality invoking our own everlasting destruction. Let us do something in our lives, and try to do something in our lives, and strive to do something in our lives that, by the grace and mercy and blessings and generosity of Allah, He will accept it from us on the Day of Judgment. This is Dialogue, Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salam.
IRIB English Radio. You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Now let's listen to Brother Muhammad Al-Hilli, who's going to talk about today's topic.
Imam Musa ibn Ja'far al-Kadhim in his prison cell would be in sujood from the morning until Maghrib time, until Harun one day decided to send to him a beautiful maid and a servant. This beautiful maid comes inside the cell. Imam alayhi salam is in sujood. She waits. Imam alayhi salam is in prostration. She says to him, "I am here to do whatever you wish, whatever you want me to do." Imam salamullahi alayhi is still in sujood. She returns back to Harun. She says, "Oh, so and so," as they used to call him, "I could not even see the face of Musa ibn Ja'far." Harun said, "Go back to him. Say to him, I am the one who dictates, who sees you, and who comes and serves you. She goes back to him, but Harun does not hear about her for a while. He decides to go and visit the prison cells in Baghdad. The narrations tell us that he enters the prison cell. He finds Musa ibn Ja'far al-Kadhim in sajda. But to his amazement, behind him is this maid in sajda saying, Quddusun Quddus. Glorifying Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He helps her, takes her, imprisons her, asks her, tell me, I have not commanded you to follow this man. Surely he has bewitched you. Surely he has caused some magic to inflict upon you. She says, by God, he is not a human being other than he is an angel from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have seen him in prostration and in ibadah throughout my time, and I have indeed been inspired by his devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Dialogue. Don't forget to visit our website at farstoday.com/en, Call of Islam page, where you can find all of our previous programs and many others as well. Until another episode, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.
جئت فينا بالهدى والحب دينا أنت يا بدر المدينة خير خلق الله يا من قد جئت فينا بالهدى والحب دينا
Food for thought.
Salam friends, and let us start the day by contemplating on a brilliant piece of advice from Imam Muhammad Baqir, peace upon him, the fifth infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. I admonish you regarding five things. If you are wronged, do not commit wrongdoing to others. If you are betrayed, do not betray anyone. If you are called a liar, do not be furious. If you are praised, do not be jubilant. If you are criticized, do not fret, but think of what is said in criticism. If you find in yourself what is criticized about you, then you are falling down in the eyes of God. When you are furious about the truth, it is much greater calamity than you're falling down in the eyes of the people. If you are opposite of what is said in criticism about you, then it is a merit you acquired without having to tire yourself in obtaining it.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With the light.
The 15th edition of the Tehran International Tourism and Handicrafts Exhibition has wrapped up. As Salman Khojouri reports, Iran ranks first globally for the number of cities and villages registered by the World Crafts Council. Here's more.
The 15th Tehran International Tourism and Handicrafts Exhibition has wrapped up its work. The four-day event brought together representatives of different sectors active in tourism and handicrafts fields, including airlines, cruise lines, hotels, museums, travel agencies, insurance services, travel and tourism facilities, and masters of handicrafts. The exhibition is considered as the most appropriate platform to optimize face-to-face communication among the involved industries. From a tourism point of view, Iran enjoys two important and unique features. The first one is Iran's exceptional geographical location among countries in the world, and the second feature is its tourism attractions of historical, cultural, natural pilgrimage, adventurous, and other sorts.
Qalamzani, or metal engraving, is an Iranian ancient metalwork art. It is engraved by chisels and hammers on different metals such as gold, silver, copper, brass, and some alloys. Its origin dates back to almost 7,000 years ago. It is the art of carving superb designs on various metals. The artistic work of this course made by the artists are the glorious and undeniable indication of previous metal work of Iran, and in particular Isfahan.
I'm from Hormozgan province, south of Iran. Handicrafts have always been an integral part of Hormozgan province due to the rich culture and special customs of the region. Hormozgan province embraces scenic islands, among which Kish, Hormoz, Hengam, and Qeshm are the most beautiful ones and top tourist destinations in southern Iran.
Iran has globally registered 11 cities and 3 villages under their native handicrafts during the past 6 years, making the country a world leader in registering local productions. There are totally 602 handicrafts fields identified on a global scale. 299 fields are special to Iran, from which 199 fields are in the central Iranian province of Isfahan.
With 14 entries, Iran ranks first globally for the number of cities and villages registered by the World Crafts Council. That's China with 7 entries, Chile with 4 entries, and India with 3 ones come next. Saman Kujuri, Tehran.
Joyous festive mood in East Asia as the region welcomes the Lunar New Year with celebrations, including light and lantern decorations of homes and public avenues. People across China are staging a variety of events to mark the New Year, also known as the Spring Festival. Several cities have held breathtaking light shows, with many landmarks and skyscrapers dazzling with colorful images. In the capital, Beijing, the light shows feature elements of the Winter Olympics as the city is getting ready to host the International Games this week. Elsewhere, Malaysians welcome the Year of the Tiger with an underwater lion dance performance in an aquarium in the capital, Kuala Lumpur. The citizens have welcomed the return of the annual event, which had been called off the previous year due to COVID-19 restrictions.
A lot happier as compared to during the lockdown period where you're alone and you do things alone. You feel very lonely, right? Now that you get to be in touch with your family, yeah, it's a lot better.
Even though we still keep the social distance, but however, I feel the freedom to go out and visit and do the things that I like to do.
Celebrations are also underway in Hong Kong, Taiwan, and Indonesia. The Lunar New Year, seen as a time of reunion and rebirth, is celebrated by more than 2 billion people worldwide, especially amongst Asian communities. The festivities last for over a fortnight.
Stunning light shows and hanging lanterns have illuminated cities across China to welcome the new lunar year, also called the Spring Festival. The city of Zigong has taken the spotlight with a sea of lanterns, turning it into a scene straight out of a fairy tale. The city is famous for lantern making and brings a festive mood this time around every year. The lanterns are usually made in all kinds and shapes, including legendary creatures representing each lunar year on the Chinese calendar. This year's zodiac is the tiger, which is decorated vividly on special couplets. The New Year festivities officially begin on Tuesday and will continue for 15 days. The Lunar New Year is considered the largest migration of people in the world, as millions travel back to their towns and villages to mark the event.
Sub-zero temperatures in the Midwestern U.S.
haven't held anglers back from participating in the world's largest charitable ice fishing contest. Some 10,000 people from across the world gathered in the state of Minnesota to put their ice fishing skills to test. They dug thousands of holes in Gull Lake in a matter of hours. Some $200,000 in prizes were up for grabs in the contest. The volunteer-led annual event has so far raised about $4 million for 67 charities since it was first held in 1991. Beryl Carr is a special volunteer at a hospital in London. What makes her special, you might wonder? Well, the fact that she celebrated her 100th birthday last month. Carr has been volunteering in Ealing Hospital for more than 18 years. She works in the hospital's cafe and says her work is her lifeline. This incredible 100-year-old lady says she enjoys helping those who are not as fortunate as she is, and that she has no intentions of retiring. The hospital staff say her presence has been very motivating.
Many of us look at her. She's always got a smile on her face, a swagger as she walks. And you come back from a clinic or a ward round, you're absolutely tired, and she just inspires you as soon as you see her.
Even the coronavirus pandemic has not stopped Carr from volunteering. Born in a nearby town, Carr says she moved back to the neighborhood more than two decades ago after the death of her husband. When asked about the secret to her long and healthy life, she refused to answer, saying she's not planning on revealing that secret.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
A surprise in a Chinese zoo ahead of the Lunar New Year. 15 rare golden tigers make debut in front of excited fans. A large group of visitors gathered in China's Yellow River Delta Zoo to watch the rare animals. This zoo is the largest breeding base for golden species of tigers across China. The animals are being strictly protected amid fears surrounding their extinction. The golden tigers are a variant of Bengali tigers with rare color variations, including black strips. They are no longer extant in the wild.
The most powerful telescope ever built in the world is now at its final destination in space. After traveling for nearly 1 month, NASA's James Webb Space Telescope has reached its final parking spot in space, which is approximately 1 million miles away from Earth. The mission of the tennis court-sized telescope is to explore the cosmos and better understand the early days of the universe. The $10 billion telescope will also carefully monitor faraway exoplanets and study the atmospheres of planets outside our solar system. It's more advanced than NASA's iconic Hubble telescope. The streets in the Taiwanese capital are decorated vividly to welcome the Year of the Tiger beginning on February the 1st. Residents are using tiger sculptures and totems to adorn the streets of Taipei. Shops are booming as people head out to buy special couplets ahead of the new year, also called the Spring Festival. Many are hoping they can completely defeat COVID-19 this year, as celebrations were scaled down due to the pandemic last year. The Chinese New Year is celebrated by almost 2 billion people across the world, though mainly in Asia. There are 12 animals representing each lunar year on the Chinese calendar. This year's zodiac is the tiger, a symbol of strength and power. A national zoo in Washington is now home to a new quill-covered resident, the second offspring of a porcupine family. Zoo staff reported the birth of the porcupine earlier this month during a snowstorm. They say they are awaiting a DNA analysis to reveal more information about the baby porcupine. Its brother is now 4 years old. The two siblings are the fourth generation of this family to live in the zoo's mammal house. These animals are born with the ability to climb and look almost identical until they are 6 months old. Natives of South America, these creatures are one of the 18 porcupine species that exist in the world today. The house in Colombia has become a hotspot for tourists. It's built in a unique way, and if you want to enter the house, you have to first walk on the ceiling leading to the door. The upside-down house is named Casa Loca and is located in Guatavita, a short distance from the capital, Bogota. Tourists can be seen walking around taking pictures of this exceptional structure. Many say it fills them with joy to visit such places. Some tourists say this has provided them a chance to gain some relief from the struggles of the pandemic.
We've come from a pandemic. We've emerged from a lockdown. So this helps people have a moment of relaxation with the novelty that we did not have. You have fun while snapping photos. It puts your mind at ease.
The Austrian creator of Casa Loca says he first got the idea to build a house when he was visiting a similar place in his country back in 2015. He says his grandchildren were stunned by the creation, and that's why he decided to make an upside-down house in Colombia where he lives now. He says people initially thought he was mad, but he decided to accomplish his plan anyway. The pandemic slowed him down a bit, but he proudly inaugurated the place 3 weeks ago.
Iran has won the first title in team category of the 20th Pan Pacific Abacus and Mental Arithmetic Championship. Saman Kujuri has more.
Talented Iranian children have ranked first in team category of the 20th Pan-Pacific Abacus and Mental Arithmetic Association Global Abacus and Mental Arithmetic Championships, which was held online. Children in five different age groups, including age 5 to 7 as Group A, 8 to 9 Group B, 10 to 11 Group C, 12 to 14 Group D, and 15 or older in Group E, annually attend the contest solving multiple math equations, including division, multiplication, square root, cube root, fractions, time, and etc. 572 students from 21 member states participated at the event.
This year, Iranian students have won the title of Champion of the Champions in two categories. Moreover, they won titles in all categories, including Champion of Champions titles, Champion titles, First Winners, and the Second Winner titles. In 2023, Iran will host the 22nd edition of the Pan-Pacific Abacus and Mental Arithmetic Association Global Abacus and Mental Arithmetic Championships.
The Smart Kids Institute holds a national competition annually in August to select members of the Iranian team for attending the PALMA Global Abacus Championships. Children from 17 to 13 years of age take part in the competition to solve some 7 mathematical test sheets using abacuses.
I am 12 years old. I have won the first title in this round of the international competitions. I have been practicing with abacus for 4 years. In the competitions, we had to solve multiple math equations, including division, multiplication, square root, and etc.
My math teacher encouraged me to learn abacus 5 years ago. Abacus and mental arithmetic skills had great impact on my mental growth and helped me a lot in my math lessons.
The championship, organized by a non-profit organization established in 1999, is an example of what can be achieved with early intervention in abacus math and mental arithmetic education.
The purpose of the competition is to allow for observation of mental arithmetic skills from countries around the world and to promote related education to find new talents in this field. Saman Kujuri, Tehran.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon all of you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, especially this program, today's special. Our topic is Laziness in the View of Islam. I invite you to be with this episode of today's special.
You're the reason my life's worth living. You're the reason I'm alive. I'd be lost without you. You're the reason that I strive. You're my destiny. You're my revenue. You're the reason that I breathe. You are all that I believe.
We open the calendar. Today, Friday, is the 2nd of Rajab, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 15th of Bahman, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 4th of February, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We listen to Chapter Tawbah, verse 42.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Law kana 'aradan qareeban wa safaran qasidan lattaba'uka walakin ba'adat 'alayhim ash-shaqqah. وسيحلفون بالله لو استطعنا لخرجنا معكم يهلكون أنفسهم والله يعلم إنهم لكاذبون.
Had it been an easy game and a moderate trip, the hypocrites would have followed you, but distant to them was the journey. And they will swear by Allah, if we were able, we would have gone forth with you, destroying themselves through false oaths. And Allah knows that indeed they are liars.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The Quran refers this meaning to the lazy persons who are weak in faith and resort to kinds of pretexts in order to refrain from attending in this great course. The Quran says to the Prophet of Islam, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, that if there was an available booty and the journey was short, they would accept his invitation and hasten to sit at that prepared table so that they could reach the worldly material. But now that the way is very far and difficult for them, they act listlessly and seek pretext.
Ya Rabbi, Ya Rahman, Ya Mubdi' al-Akwan. Ya Rabbi, Ya Rahman, Ya Mubdi' al-Akwan. Ilayka qalban yadhubu hubban bin-nuri wal-iman. Ilayka qalban yadhubu hubban bin-nuri wal-iman.
Laziness in the view of Islam, we follow. Laziness is a state of passivity and of letting things stay as they are.
Islam is a religion that calls for activity in action and fights against laziness. Laziness is one of the diseases that Islam abhors, and the Prophet of Islam sought Allah's protection and refuge against. The Prophet is reported to have said, O Allah, I seek refuge in you from helplessness, laziness, cowardice, niggardliness, and burden of debts and domineering men. The busyness of life and attachment to worldly things causes a lack of motivation to do good. Why should one pray, read Quran, or learn more about God? Blessings of God, we can never thank Allah enough. But He is still forgiving. Think of these basic blessings that you might possess. Life, family, health, eyesight, hearing, a roof over your head, all the limbs of your body, and food for the day. Dr. Fakhr Rouhani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin asta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with idleness in Islam. And at the same time, I mean, another one is appealing to the public. I mean, by appealing to the public, it means that, okay, when you want to do something and when you want to get away from idleness, you have to be with people because, I mean, man is a sociable and social creature. Okay, you can't find any person, I mean, any single person to be living in a good state of mind and happiness in a corner or in a cave, in a mountain. No, I mean, man needs to be with other men. Any man, anybody needs to be with other people. In this case, in order to make the most of our time, it's indicated that we have to have good schedules, and these good schedules come out of consciousness, thinking, making use of the suggestions of those people who are fair-minded and expert, and they are very faithful, and they wouldn't betray us. And at the same time, what's important in this regard is that we have to take rest. And this taking rest is something quite essential, both psychologically, socially, mentally, and emotionally. So we find that even the infallible personalities were not in such a way to spend all the time, all the lifetime on, for example, performing prayers and so on. No, the infallible personalities, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as well as other pre-Islamic prophets, and within the Islamic religion, all the infallibles and the great personalities, they were, I mean, like other people. I mean, they had their own high aims, and in order to reach the high aims, they spent the energy and they wanted to benefit from consultation of other people in order both to excel in their own projects and at the same time to get away as much as possible from idleness, because nobody has amounted to anything through idleness. Thank you.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every bar.
Today's special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Kinds of laziness. Family laziness. The family is the unit of the community, so if it is sound, the community would be sound. And if it is not stable, then community is at risk. If the family is lazy, then proper upbringing would not be fulfilled. The parents would be lazy to fulfill their duties towards their children, and the children would be lazy to fulfill their duties toward their parents and homes. And if every member of the family does not have that love and care which drives them to fight laziness and go the extra mile for their family, then you'll find weak family relationship and even more concerning a broken Islamic home. Sometimes we seem to have forgotten the hadith when the Prophet of Islam, Prophet Muhammad, peace and salutations of Allah be upon him and his family, who said, "Every one of you is a guardian and is responsible for his charges. The ruler who has authority over people is a guardian and is responsible for them. A man is a guardian of his family and is responsible for them. A woman is a guardian of her husband's house and children and is responsible for them. And all of you are guardians and are responsible for your charges."
For something, something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free. My Lord, show me right from wrong. Give me light, make me strong. I know the road is long. Make me strong.
Among tips to overcome laziness, we reach to rest, sleep, and exercise. In some cases, laziness is due to being tired and lacking energy. If this is true in your case, you need to give yourself the rest and sleep you need and also give your body enough exercise and fresh air. Repeat affirmation. Tell yourself, "I can accomplish my goal. I have the energy and motivation to act and do whatever I want or have to do. Doing things makes me stronger. Doing things makes things happen."
Laziness and working. Laziness and working. We need the culture of working, achieving, going to work, waking up early in the morning, have your coffee or tea, whatever it is that you want, and then you go to work and you come back late in the evening. We live in countries where the culture is to work. There's no sitting at home and relying on the government or relying on income support. Absolutely not. You don't depend on anyone else. مَلْعُونٌ مَنْ أَلْقَى كَلَّهُ عَلَىٰ غَيْرَهُ. The hadith says, cursed is the one who relies on others for his means of income. Cursed is the one that relies on others. You don't rely on others. It is one of the sources of pride of a person that he makes his own means of living and he doesn't rely on anyone else. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He saw one of his companions, he saw a young man worshipping inside his mosque in Al-Masjid al-Nabawi. Worshipping all day, from morning till night. Fasting, he would fast every day. And he would spend the entire day praying, reciting Qur'an, reciting dua, and praying. And then he would see that three or two times a day, someone would come and bring him food for suhoor and for iftar. So he said, "Who is this person?" He called them. He said, "What's your story? You're worshipping every day and you're bringing him food. So what's your story?" They said, "Ya Rasulullah, we are two brothers. We made an agreement. One of us would worship all day, fast every day, and the other would go out and work and support the one worshipping." Rasulullah looked at the one who would work and support the one worshipping. He said, "You're the real worshipper, not this guy. You're the real worshipper. This is the real worship. Not the one sitting inside the masjid, being lazy, not going out to work."
Dear brothers and sisters, that was another episode of today's special. Of course, we opened a new topic about laziness and Islamic viewpoint about it. So we continue, inshallah, in the next episode. I invite you to rejoin us again. Till then, have a nice time.
They told me that I'm crazy, who you're praying for. They told me there is nothing, who you're looking for. Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they show me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world. Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.